big parsha this week, the parsha of Yisro, the parsha of Kabbalah HaTorah, and at the same time, it's also a very chashuv week with Tu B'Shvat. Tu B'Shvat is tomorrow evening, Tuesday night into Wednesday. Rabbi Moshe Wolfson points out in the Sefer Emunah Sichacha, I just said this at my niece's Sheva Brachos on Shabbos, that Tu B'Shvat is connected to Tu B'Av. It's interesting that the day of Tu B'Av, we know the B'nai Yisachar explains it's so chashuv because it's 40 days before Briyas HaOlam, before the creation of the world on Chaf Hei Elul, and so too Tu B'Shvat is also 40 days before Chaf Hei Adar, which we know it's a machlokas in the Gemara Roshana, when was the world really created? Was man created Aleph Tishrei? Was man created Aleph Nisan? So it's interesting, there is a tzushtel between the both of them, whereas Tu B'Av might be about connection, Tu B'Shvat is about produce, about what we bring forth, what we accomplish. So Tu B'Shvat is a very, very chashuv a day. It's grown more chashuv through Kabbalah, through the revealing the hidden secrets of Torah, and in the Sifrei Chassidus, it's become very, very popular. People have Tu B'Shvat Siddarim and other things, but, you know, Shlomo Aviner of Yeshivat HaTeret Yushalayim in the Old City, Rav of Beit El, so he points out that Bizman HaZeh, Tu B'Shvat takes on totally, totally different significance in our day and age. I was just explaining to Shira and Yaakov on the way home that Mashiach is coming soon because the Navi tells us when Eretz Yisrael, I was telling them, it's no joke, that Mashiach is coming soon because the Navi tells us that when Eretz Yisrael is filled with produce, when Eretz Yisrael is filled with peros and the leaves are growing on the tree and grass is growing in the field, that Mashiach means Mashiach is coming soon. So to be able, Avinei writes, to be able to celebrate a Tu B'Shvat in Eretz Yisrael today, eat the peros ha'aretz, to be able to see the land, mamish, full. It's unbelievable, mamish. So Tu B'Shvat today means something very, very different than it did 150 years ago. Tu B'Shvat today is a yontif of Geula, and it's a yontif when each and every one of us has the opportunity, represents a certain rebirth. That's what Tu B'Shvat is, that the sap is Ola B'Ilan, that even though we look at the trees and they look that they're still bare and they're cold, but we know that Tu B'Shvat represents that the chiyus, the life of the tree, is still there, that the sap is rising up in the tree, and that each and every one of us, there are times when things seem dark, when things seem cold, but we have to know Tu B'Shvat means it's a symbol of rebirth. And actually, that's like the idea I would like to start with tonight. It's such a powerful, powerful message. It's a famous question that we've discussed many, many, many times before. The question is the question of Anochi Hashem Elokecha Asher Tzisicha Mertzim Tzorim Mibeis Avodim. The question that Ben Ezra quotes from Rabbi Yehuda Halevi, why is it that it says, I am Hashem, your God, that took you out of the house of Egypt, from the house of slavery, page 406, the first of the Dibros, why doesn't it say, I am Hashem, your God, that created heaven and earth? And Rabbi Dr. Tzvi Hirsch Weinreb Shlita of the OU, who we had here as a scholar in residence last year in his Sefer on the Parsha, brings down an unbelievable pshat, a beautiful, beautiful pshat, that reflects, I think, something we've shared together many, many times, but the way he came to this pshat is so, so powerful. He said he had a patient when he was a psychoanalyst. He had a patient, he said this was over three decades ago, who was a child of Holocaust survivors, but she wasn't Jewish. Her parents weren't Jewish either. Her parents were Polish, part of the Polish resistance. Her father was a very prominent lawyer in pre-war Poland. And her parents really risked their lives time and time again to defend and save Jewish lives. Her parents have now passed on, but they're memorialized in Yad Vashem. In the Hall of Righteous Gentiles, her parents are there. And this was, he was dealing with this woman, gives her name, Catherine, and one particularly intense session, she was talking about the tragedy that was her father's life. Her father was a very distinguished, lawyer in pre-war Poland. And what happened to him was that because of his wartime activities, because of his resistance against the Germans, they put him in Auschwitz. He was in Auschwitz as a political prisoner. And ultimately, when he was freed after the war, he went back to his hometown, and he wasn't greeted as a hero. He was greeted, he was shunned as a pariah, meaning that you were the ones that defended the Jews, and he was treated as a pariah. I mean, this is obviously has interesting comments with the law that Poland passed to commemorate International Holocaust Remembrance Day about making it a criminal activity to link Polish activities to Nazi activities, to anti-Semitic activities, which we're not going to get into now. There's a lot being written and discussed about that. But she said how after the war, father came back to their town. And he thought, you know, welcoming hero, shunned. Totally, totally disgraced. And he couldn't take it. So he left with his family to America. Came to America, could never really pick up the language. It was too big a barrier for him. He wound up as a janitor. And it was, you know, something that was really disgraceful for him, that here he was, a janitor. He was this distinguished chash of a lawyer in Poland before the war. And he lived vicariously through his children, pushing his children to get advanced degrees, and took a lot of joy in their professional and educational accomplishments. But he died really very, very disappointed. And she was really lamenting this tragic tale of her father. And Rabbi Dr. Weinrib said that he was sharing, well, you know, my family went through similar things when they came to America after the war. And she said, no, you didn't. You Jews are different. I said, what do you mean? She says, look at what happened to the Jews when they came to America. You totally rebuilt your world. You rebuilt your religious world, your educational institutions, your whole culture. Says, you Jews experienced the redemption. My father never had that personal redemption. He died still suffering from the wounds of the war. And Rabbi Dr. Weinrib writes that that was just like a moment of great clarity for him. When she said, you Jews are different, you experienced redemption. My father never was redeemed, never had that redemption after the war. And Rabbi Dr. Weinrib writes that really the first two books of the Torah, the Bereishis is Hashem as a God of nature. Shemos is Hashem as God of history. And he says that the central dynamic of history is redemption. That is the central, central force in all of history, is this concept of redemption. But redemption means many different things. Redemption means the ability at its core to recreate a new reality for yourself, not to be stuck in the past. And Rabbi Weinrib writes, he believes this is why. This is why the first Dibra starts, Anochi Adonai Elohecha, Asher Tzisicha Me'eretz Mitzrayim Mibeis Avodim. Because you know what the secret of Torah is? The secret of Torah is how to redeem yourself. That's what Torah represents. Torah represents the ability of a human being to experience redemption time and time and time again. And I know we've discussed this. We've discussed this pre-Shovavim, the idea, the Baalei Musar, the Gedolei HaChassidus talk about this so much. The mitzvah, Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, every day, mentioning in the morning, mentioning every night, right? Remembering, Asher Tzeis Yitzchan Eretz Mitzrayim, Ani Hashem Elokeichem. Why do you have to remember Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim twice a day? Because Yetzias Mitzrayim is an ongoing process. Yetzias Mitzrayim, the ability to be redeemed, happens time and time and time again. Every day, human being. And Rabbi Weinrib says this is why the first Dibra, really Hashem's introduction of the Torah to Klal Yisrael, is Anochi Hashem Elokecha Asher Tzisicha Me'eretz Mitzrayim Mibeis Avodim. That I am taking you out. For I am Hashem, your God, that took you out of the land of boundaries, of constrictions, Meitzar, from the house of bondage, from the house of slavery. And if you commit yourself to Torah, this is what you can do. You can live a redeemed life. And he said that this has been the hallmark of Klal Yisrael, time and time again. Think about where we've been. think about the lives that our nation has gone through. If a cat has 9 lives, Am Yisrael has had 30,000 lives. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. And this is one of the primary defining features of Am Yisrael. And this is why Rabbi Yaakov Emden wonders that he says, thinks the greatest proof of God's existence is our continued existence. That's where Rabbi Yaakov Emden writes in his introduction to the Siddur, his Siddur, that the existence of Klal Yisrael today is the greatest proof for Hashem's existence. Or as we know, the famous comment of Mark Twain, the Egyptian is gone, the Chaldean is gone, the Persian is gone, the Roman is gone, the Greek is gone. What's the Babylonian, what's the secret of the eternal Jew? The secret of the eternal Jew is Anochi Hashem Elokech Asher Tzitzich Hametz Shrem Beis Avadim. This is what Torah is. Torah is the koach of Geula, the koach of redemption, of not being stuck in a past, but allowing ourselves to develop, to metamorphosize, to recreate ourselves. And that koach, he's saying, is in the Torah Kedosha. That's what he says, which is unbelievable. I thought an unbelievable Torah from Rabbi Dr. Weinreb. However, to be able to experience a redemptive property of Torah, there's also another very important yisod, which is a very powerful yisod that I saw in one of these likut, one of these collections. I forgot who it was from. We know the famous idea that we're told after the Dibros, and this is really mapping out the narrative of Kabbalah Satorah is not simple. It's not simple. Because after Kabbalah Satorah, Klal Yisrael, V'chol Ha'am Ro'am V'sakolos V'salapidim V'skol HaShofar V'sa'or HaShen V'yar Ha'am V'yanu V'yamdu Me'erchok V'yomru El Moshe Daber Ata Imanu V'nishma V'al Yidaber Imanu Elohim Penamus. That Moshe, you speak to us instead of Hashem, because if Hashem speaks to us, maybe we're going to die, right? This is what they say after the Azar Zadibros. What does that mean? Because we know that Chazal tell us that in fact, Klal Yisrael, sorry, page 412, Parakhov Pasuk Tezayin 2016, that they say to Moshe, you speak to us now and we'll listen, and God shouldn't speak to us, maybe we will die. So we know, because what did Chazal tell us, what in fact did happen to Klal Yisrael? That Hashem did tell us, Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe Marosh Akilas Yaakov, Torah Begematria is what? What is Torah Begematria? Torah, the gematria of Torah, come on, Cheryl, math teacher, let's go, on the spot, come on, you call yourself a math teacher, right? Gematrius, give this to your students, gematrius. Gematria of Torah is 611, right? So what does it mean? Torah, Tzivalon, and Moshe, Marashi, Moshe taught us only 611? Yeah, that is, because two came from Hashem. Two Hashem spoke to us. And what happened when Hashem spoke to us? What? We died. And Hashem brought us back to life. Why did that have to happen? Why did that have to happen? No, this is a good question. Like, what's pshat? Like, God showing off, I could kill you if I want. Like, what does it mean? What's pshat? That Hashem speaks to us, our neshamas leave, Hashem gives it back, second time leaves, comes back, then no mas, we say Hashem no more. Moshe, you talk to us, penamus, maybe we're going to go and we're not going to be able to come back a third time, chazaka. What's going on? So an unbelievable pshat. You know, educational philosophy tells us, educational psychology tells us that every human being is created as a tabula rasa. Every human being is created as a blank slate. Every human being created total blank slate. And what happens is, over time, is that people write on your board. People write messages on your board, this clean slate that's inside of you, and you pick up messages. That's why I remember a Rebbe, I was never in a shir, but I learned so much from him, Rabbi Meir Schiller Shlita. He's a Rebbe in MTA, he was my brother's Rebbe, but I remember him speaking at a Shabbaton in Staten Island for juniors and seniors in high school, but I was 15, I was Rabbi's son, Donnie's brother, he allowed me to come and listen to Shmuz, and he said that the Shmuz talking about Israel, people are afraid to go, why do we go into the year in Israel, you get brainwashed in Israel, you don't want to go, he looks around and goes, my gentlemen and ladies, does anyone here think you're not already brainwashed? Because you're not brainwashed as 16, 17, 18-year-old teenagers in America today? And again, we're talking about like the late 1980s. You know what I'm saying? We're not, because anyone now, how much more so? He says, you don't think you're brainwashed? He goes, I'm going to tell you a little secret. Everyone is brainwashed. You know what the choice you have in life is? Who do you want to do the washing? That's your only choice. Everyone is brainwashed. We were created with the tabula rasa, and people write messages, whether things we pick up at our homes when we're very young, things we pick up from media, things we pick up from movies that we watch and television shows that we watch, friends, schools. School barely teaches us anything. There's so much written on our board before you ever step foot into a school, right? So listen to this Torah. It's such a deep Torah. You know why Hashem had to remove our neshamas from our bodies and give it back, and then again and give it back? You know what Hashem had to do to give us
clean
the Torah?
Slate.
Had to clean the slate off. Hashem had to clean the slate. You know what that's teaching us? It teaches us that we can't judge Torah based upon our own perceptions. Torah is not judged by any ism of the day. Torah is beyond any ism. If we have a problem accepting Torah, it's either we don't understand the Torah or we're arrogant and we think we know better. You know, that's what it comes down to. The tabula rasa means that if a person believes there's a morality independent of Torah HaKadosha, believe there's a right or wrong independent of Torah HaKadosha, so that means that you don't either understand Torah properly, or no, it doesn't mean it. It means you have things written on your board that are preventing you from really being Mekabel Torah. Such a deep idea. Wow. Never understood this medrash until I learned this yisod. To hear this yisod, do you understand how unbelievable this yisod is?
But why did Hashem have to do it twice?
So that's a good question. Why did Hashem have to do it twice? You could tie into the mitzvah sase, mitzvah lo sase. You could talk about Torah Shabbosav, Torah Shabbalpeh. There are many reasons why it might be twice. But it's some want to say that symbolically twice was the past and the other was for the future. Right? We know all the neshamas were at Har Sinai. Well, your neshama was at Har Sinai. Everyone here, your neshama was at Har Sinai. It's an unbelievable Torah. No, maybe I'm the only one that got excited by it, but it's just too late at night. I just, wow. So that Torah, I was like, unbelievable. Just mamish fit in with educational psychology, and it makes so much sense that Hashem had to push the reset button. He had to just wipe it clean, that whatever preconceived notions you had from Egypt, whatever preconceived notions you're going to have from Zoroastrianism, whatever preconceived notions you're going to have from, you know, from early Christianity, preconceived notions from the Enlightenment, preconceived notions of 20th century morality, whatever preconceived notions you have, you know, don't try and fit Torah into your preconceived notions. As we said, that this is from Rabbi Dr. Isaac Bernstein, the great Rav from England, who said that Kavata Itim La Torah, the question we're going to be asked, one of the six questions that the Gemara and Shabbos, Lamdam Ralef, tells us that we're asked when we get to Bezin Shalmala, Kavata Itim La Torah. We said this Yom Narum a few years ago, and we've said it since. It doesn't mean, do you set aside time for Torah study? It means Kavata Itim La Torah. Did you define the times based upon the Torah Kedosha? Define the times you're living in based on Torah. Don't define Torah based on the times. Don't try and refit Torah in with some concept of external morality that we have from 21st century America. Because 21st century America has no idea what moral is. Can't understand it. We know certain things, right, of course, good, bad, not. I mean, it's changing every half a year. Right, what's my, we know, the Torah tells us. What? It's not right to take advantage of them. Mishkoyach, you know? the Me Too movement, Torah, Hilchas Yichud, Hilchas Negiya, we had these halachas for thousands of years. And again, don't judge Judaism by Jews. We know that's the old message of Reb Lazer Silver, whose Yahrzeit was just observed this past week. Don't judge Judaism by Jews. You know, you have to look in the Torah Kedosha and be open and be willing to listen to the message of Torah. But I thought that this was a very important idea. Once we're on these psukim, we'll share another idea from the Kotzker on these psukim. Also, gewalt, idea that has to do with really understanding Torah and getting to Torah. The Pasuk tells us, v'chol ha'am ro'em es ha'kolos, that the whole people, they saw the sounds, right? And they saw the sounds, and they saw the sights, and they were standing far away. That's 20:15, a parakhov Pasuk tezvav. And then Pasuk Yudches, just continuing, then Moshe, don't let Hashem speak to us, you speak to us, we're afraid we're going to die. Moshe says to people, don't be afraid. Vayamot ha'amei rechok, again, confirming what we saw at the end of Tezvav, Pasuk 15, and again, it's probably connecting the two, showing that 16 and 17, Tezayin and Yudzayin, were like parenthetical, but Pasuk Yudches picks up exactly where Tezvav leaves off. Vayamot ha'amei rechok, the people were standing far away. Moshe nigash el arafel asher shom Elohim. Moshe approaches the thick darkness that where God's presence was. Okay? So it's such an interesting idea. Such an interesting idea from the Kotzker. What does it mean that the people saw sights? They saw sounds. So many explain that this was, you know, ki'ilu, like a person in a psychedelic experience. I've never had such an experience. I've seen in film people trying to convey what that experience is. Whatever, is that really what it is? Who knows? There's a famous Rolling Stone article about the psychedelic experience and expanded states of consciousness, v'chule, v'chule. Some say what was going on here was ki'ilu, Hashem pulling back the veil of nature, so they could see sounds. They were able to, I mean, it was something totally beyond. The Kotzker has a different pshat, a much simpler pshat. What does it mean to see a sound? So, what was the sound? What was the sound? The sound was Hashem's voice. Right? That's why the people saying, maybe we're going to die again, a third time, we're not going to... This was the Kol Hashem that was speaking to them. They saw God's voice. What does that mean? The Kotzker says, when you see a person, right? Do you know that person? When you see a person, just see a person. Do you know that person? You can maybe say certain basic judgments about that person, right? You see a person dressed like me, beard, bald, big stomach, dressed like an Oreo, these things dangling out. Most people see me, they live from New York, they can guess he's a Hasidic Jew, right? That's what most guess, right? He's a Hasidic Jew, not really, right? I don't got the twirlies, yeah, right, you know, if you pay attention, but there are some Hasids without the twirlies. Is he a hipster? He's not a hipster, you know, he got the twirlies out, you know? So you see a person, you can make a certain judgment. But then you start talking to the person. That's when you really start to get to know the person. When you listen to the person, that's when you can really understand who this person is. Klal Yisrael saw what Hashem was saying. What does that mean? They saw what Hashem was saying. It meant they didn't really understand. They didn't understand deeply. That's why they were still far away. They couldn't. Moshe Rabbeinu, he's Nigash El Arafel, Asher Sham Elokim. Moshe Rabbeinu listened to God. He understood in a very, very deep way. But Klal Yisrael, that was from far, they could only see the sounds of God. They couldn't hear them. They couldn't really understand them. That's why it's so interesting. Because what is the precursor to hearing? It's not in this week's parsha, it's in next week's parsha. What's the real precursor to being able to hear?
To listen.
Na'aseh v'nishma. Not to listen, to do.
To do.
And this is such a mysterious concept that you really can't understand Judaism until you do Judaism. You can't understand it until you do it. Diane Grunfeld, in his book on Shabbos, right, said that if someone would ask you to describe Shabbos, it would just sound like this anachronistic burden of, and now, you know, Halachas Kamkara. When did Diane Grunfeld write the Sabbath? Was it in the 70s, Achveis? I don't remember. When the first copy of the Sabbath came out. You ever read the Sabbath? It's great. Mm-hmm. It's a great Machshava book about Shabbos. Diane Grunfeld from England. So, you know, someone has to describe Shabbos. Like, someone describe chocolate ice cream to you. It's cold. It's sweet. But what's chocolate? What's mean chocolate? How do you describe? Here, taste it. You'll understand what chocolate ice cream is. Oh, he's going up. He says it's the same thing with Torah mitzvahs, especially like Shabbos. Someone describe Shabbos to you? No phone for 25 hours. You can't go in a car. You can't cook. You can't... Like, what the heck is this thing?
Lights.
What? Lights, right? You can't turn on lights. Like, it sounds absurd. I mean, that's why conservative Jewry, when they started writing tshuva, said, that's like, you can't live in a world like this today. But you know what? We said you can live in a world like this today. You can, but and you don't really know what Shabbos is until you experience Shabbos. Tameh Chaim Zochu. We say in the Musaf Shemona Esrei of Shabbos, Tameh, those that taste Shabbos, Chaim Zochu, they merit life. When you taste Torah Mitzvahs, that's when you can chap it. And so Naaseh V'Nishma, the Jews, in getting Torah, they were still far away. They saw the sounds. Saw the sounds, the Kotzker says, means that they didn't chap it. They didn't really understand because they saw it. Again, when I see a person, do you really understand the person? No, you don't understand the person when you see the person, right? You see the person, what is that person like, what, right? You have no concept of what that person is. But when you start talking, when you hear what the person's saying, ah, now I understand her. Now I understand who you are. So to really hear Hashem, what do you have to first do to really hear Hashem? Naaseh V'Nishma. I'm going to do, and then I'm going to understand. So Rav Soloveitchik says, Shema Yisrael doesn't mean listen. It doesn't mean hear. It means to understand. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokein. Understand this, Yisrael. Hashem Elokein, Hashem Echad. Naaseh V'Nishma, I'm going to do, then I'm going to understand. I'm going to keep Shabbos, then I'm going to understand Shabbos. Listen, hearing the laws of Shabbos, I just see Shabbos. And it's intimidating, and it's scary, and it's old-fashioned. Then I keep a Shabbos, and it sets me free. I keep a Shabbos, and I want another one. This was awesome. This was amazing. And that's why people saw the sounds. It meant they didn't really understand them. By doing, that's when we understand. That's another idea of the Kotzker in this week that I think is a very, very important idea, a very, very powerful idea that relates to what we were just talking about. Relates to what we were just talking about the idea that sometimes when we have our preconceived notions, we can't understand. That a Kadosh Baruch Hu sort of had to erase that, had to clean off that tabula rasa, had to clean off that clear board, make it clear once again, so that it could be imprinted aluach libenu on the board, the blackboard, the smart board of our heart. No blackboard, the smart board of our heart. Do you have blackboards in your school? No, all smart boards.
No, whiteboards.
Oh, you have whiteboards, and you have boards. Okay. Only I still sometimes get the chalk on my hand. Not Bria has smart boards, but, you know, I like the feeling of chalk and getting it all over my pants and my jacket. And getting all, you know? So, ma'am, there's so much more to talk about. Wow. Okay. So, again, what do we mention so far? We mentioned which ideas. I didn't have a chance. Ma'am just came late, so I didn't have a chance to write down my notes. So we said the idea of, from Rabbi Dr. Weinreb, why the first of the Dibros, which is the Mibes Avadim, the idea that Torah has a redemptive quality to it. God of history, the central dynamic of history is redemption, and that is through Torah Akadosha. From there, we went to the idea that I saw in this Likut, in this compilation, the idea that why was it that the people afraid maybe we're going to die? They did die twice. They're afraid a third time. They wouldn't wake up, a chazakah. But why did Hashem have to give Torah this way? Because we're all created as a tabula rasa. Everyone is brainwashed. Everyone, Bizman is brainwashed. Right? Rabbi Schuller's message in Numer 15, you get to choose who you want to do the washing. So Hashem had to sort of de-brainwash them. to de-brainwash them. And as he said twice, maybe for the past, for the future, los aseis, aseis. But Hashem had to say Kabbalah Satorah is to accept it wholly. Not fully, meaning not wholly, H-W-H. Holy to accept Torah, and that's the idea that we said from Rabbi Dr. Isaac Bernstein. The question that we're asked, one of the six questions we're asked in the Bezon Shalmala is Kavata Itim La Torah. Did you define your times based on Torah, not vice versa? And from there, we went to the idea of how what it means to really understand Torah. Why the Kutzker says that the people saw the sounds, because seeing something does not mean really understanding it. It's very, very external understanding. It's not Pnimius Advarm. It's not the inner meaning. It's not the inner life of things. And the Pnimius you only get to when you listen, when you hear someone talk. Right? Again, you look at me, you make certain judgments of me. I remember when I had an interview here, when I went from being the youth director / assistant rabbi to rabbi, so they weren't interviewing other people, but I had to be interviewed by the whole shul. Do you remember this? Do you remember this?
Well.
I remember Sam Alexander asked me, where do you see... No, someone else asked me, where do you see the shul in 10 years from now? I said, in 10 years from now, I see this shul on a mountaintop outside Yerushalayim. Mashiach will be here. This shul will be lifted up, as the Gemara Megillah tells us. Sam Alexander, I remember, stood up and started clapping. Other people thought, this guy is a lunatic. But I remember someone said to me, someone at the meeting said, look at you. You wear a black hat. You wear your tzitzis out with that beard. You don't have a television in your house. I don't know how they knew that. I don't think they checked my house. He said, how do you really consider yourself modern Orthodox? I still remember that person looked at me and made, the person clearly wasn't in shul too much that year. I won't comment who it was, don't worry. But the person wasn't in shul too much that year, you know. I said, well, it depends how you define modern Orthodox. Listen, you know, let's talk. But, you know, you make snap judgments about people when you look at them. When you listen to them, then you understand. Moshe Rabbeinu understood, but Klal Yisrael only saw the sounds. We didn't really chat God until we see next week's parasha. Naseh! When you keep Torah and Nishma, then you're really going to understand Torah. And that's like what Dayan Grunfeld writes in Shabbos. Tei Shabbos, and you'll see it. Okay. Now I know what we did so far, so like three more ideas, but we'll go with one more because it's 8:43. Okay, it's a little bit late. I apologize, I was late. But there's a beautiful idea. Yeah, we'll do the idea. Okay. Not the idea from the Rav. I hope you all have the Rav Salvechik Chumash. No? If you don't, you should get it. It's Kedai. It's a beautiful idea. You know, let's go back to the beginning of the Parsha. Another beautiful idea from Rabbi Dr. Weiner in his Sefer Alat Torah. Vayishma Yisrael Chohen Midyan Chosein Moshe. Eis Kal Asher Asay Elohim L'Moshe L'Yisrael Amok Yotzi Adonai Yisrael Mimitzrayim. Rabbi Dr. Weiner says, and this is an idea he said he heard when he was first in the pulpit down in Baltimore of Simcha Zissel Brady Zatzal, who was the great Rosh Hashiva of the Chevron Yeshiva, had come, I think it was to Hopkins, to be treated for a disease that they couldn't treat in Eretz Yisrael. And he was told that the best place to go is Hopkins. So he went to Hopkins to be treated. So when you had one of the greatest Rosh Hashivas in Eretz Yisrael in your backyard, Rabbi Weinram said he used to go visit him all the time. They got like a chabur together when he was up to it, that they could learn together. And he said he heard this from Rav Simcha Zissel. The idea that isn't it strange? Imagine you were writing a sefer biography about the Chafetz Chaim. And talking about the gradless of the Chafetz Chaim, let's say it happened to have been that the Chafetz Chaim's father-in-law was the Archbishop of Canterbury. Like, let's say Lahavdil, you know. Would you have included that in the biography of the Chafetz Chaim? Oh, by the way, his father-in-law was the Archbishop of Canterbury. His father-in-law was the Pope. Like, that seems very strange. Like, why would you include that? Right? That some Hasidic Rebbe, his father-in-law was this guru in India, the shaman. Like, it seems strange. But yet, Vayishma Yisro Chohen Midyan Chosein Moshe. Like, how do we describe Yisro in this pasuk? We describe him, yes, as the father-in-law of Moshe, but also we describe him as the high priest of Midyan. Like, isn't it strange? Like, okay, I get it. The Midrashim that he was and he searched, but like, is this the Torah? Is this the description you want to give of Yisro? So the lesson Rav Simcha Zissel taught Rabbi Weinrim and others is based upon the Gemara in Gittin Daf Mem Gimel Amid Aleph. The Gemara in Gittin Mem Gimel Amid Aleph, and a whole discussion, I'm not going to get into what the Gemara, it's one line. It's one line. That anyone who doesn't stumble on Divrei Torah will not come to really understand Torah. Ein adam omid al divrei Torah ella im kain. I forgot the lashon of the Gemara. Hichshilbo. You won't really understand Torah until you first stumble on Torah. It means that we only grow when we make mistakes. We only grow from errors. And he said that this is why the Torah tells us, Vayishma Yisro Chohin Midyan Chose Moshe. When the Torah tells us that he was the Archbishop of Canterbury, when it comes to tell us that Yisro was like the Pope of Midyan, it's coming l'shvach, it's coming to praise Yisro. That Yisro was a person who was a seeker. And he was a person who his whole life was looking for emes. And of course, we've discussed this in the past. That's why, again, what's the first word of the parasha? Vayishma Yisro. What do we just say about listening? What do we just say about hearing? That's how you really understand. Vayishma Yisro choin midyan chosin Moshe. Eskal asher ase lakim. That Yisro heard. He listened. He understood what was happening in the world. And this is the godless of Kohen Midyan. Rabbi Weinreb said that he was taught by Rav Simcha Zissel that day, was that this is telling us the godless of Yisro, that he was Kohen Midyan, and yet he was also Chosin Moshe, that he was a person that grew because of the mistakes that he made. And that's what a seeker naturally does. When a person seeks emes, a person who seeks emes understands that there are going to be mistakes, understands that you only come to emes by confronting sheker. And at times you have to try the sheker and you have to reject the sheker. But you don't come to emes all of a sudden just like that. That's not the way of the world. That's not how this world functions. And this is the lesson Rabbi Weinreb said that he learned from Simcha Zissel that day in the hospital. The importance of Kohen Midyan. What the Torah is teaching us by this, that it's okay to make mistakes. And not only is it okay to make mistakes, it's important to make mistakes, because you're not going to grow without them. Growth doesn't happen without stumbling. And of course, we know that that's the famous pasuk that Shlomo HaMelech tells us in Mishlei, Sheva Yipal HaTzadik V'kam Lo. That's a tzadik falls seven times and gets up. What does it mean? What's Shlomo HaMelech telling us? Seven represents nature, as we've said so many times before. It's natural that you sin. It's natural that a person falls. But what makes a tzaddik? The fact that he falls, the fact that she falls, is what makes her tzaddikus and that she gets back up. That's what makes the tzaddikus. That's what makes the tzaddik. He's not saying you could be a tzaddik in spite of your falling. No! The falling is what makes you the tzaddikus. The fact that Yisro was the Chohen Midyan, that's what made him, the zechus that made him to be the Chosein Moshe. To be the father-in-law of the greatest Navi that ever was and that ever will be. Moshe Rabbeinu, the one who Torah Tzivalanu Moshe, Moroshe Kilos Yaakov. And that's why the parsha of Kabbalah Satorah is the parsha of Yisro. It's the parsha of understanding that Kabbalah Satorah, we accept Torah wholly, again, WH, but we understand that in our acceptance of Torah, in our life of Torah, it's a struggle, and we're going to fall, and we're going to make mistakes, and there are going to be errors, but that's how we grow. That's how we grow. And Hashem should just help us out, that we need to have the courage, and we need to have the strength, and the hope to get back up. Shkoyach, shkoyach teacher.